Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
There were moments in the fourth quarter yesterday afternoon in which I said to myself, there's no way the Knicks are losing this game. And there were two sequences. The sequence where Precious Achiuwa blocked Joel Embiid after Deuce McBride played ferocious defense against Tyrese Maxey. It was a three-point game with 3 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. And when you have Precious and you have Deuce as the two leading factors in shutting down defensively the 76ers' best player, that was like a sign from the heavens.
Right.
That was a, they're not losing this game.
Well, it also speaks to what we've been talking about with Tom Thibodeau. He's just, those guys got better.
Oh, yeah.
Right? When guys regress, it's a sign of coaching. But when the guys get better, it's also a sign of coaching.
And everybody's gotten better. Every single person.
Right.
The other moment, and this one's a little underrated because the Knicks didn't score, but Jalen Brunson missed a three. Then Precious Achiuwa got great positioning on the rebound where Kyle Lowry had to commit a loose ball foul. Then Josh Hart missed a three, but OG Anunoby got the rebound. Mm-hmm. And then Jalen Brunson missed a mid-ranger, and then Precious Achiuwa got the rebound, and then Josh Hart finally missed, and then it went out of bounds. And even though the Knicks didn't score, that to me is demoralizing.
Of course it is.
Like, if you're the Philadelphia 76ers, okay, granted, you didn't give up any points, and again, it was a three-point game at this moment, but you just stopped the Knicks four times! Four times!
Yeah.
And that was a demoralizing moment. And then, yeah, Tyrese Maxey missed a wide-open three, down three, I think, with about a minute and a half to go. A lot of this set up by just great Knick defense and just crashing the glass like they set the tone early in this series, and they did it again in Game 4. So alongside just this superstar effort, Herculean by Jalen Brunson, mostly in the third quarter, that's really when you sat there and said, oh, my God.
Yeah, it also comes down to just math. Like, you just end up taking more shots.
Yeah.
Right? The Knicks had 86. The 76ers had 84. Now, it's all about making them.
It's misleading.
It is misleading.
I'm telling you, these stats were misleading. You watched the fourth quarter, man. It was like a million opportunities compared to two.
Right.
That's the way it felt.
But think about just that simple sequence that you talked about.
Yes.
That's at least two more shots, maybe even three for the 76ers. And if one or two of those go in, it's a tighter game.
And no
right?
question.
So it ultimately comes down to math. Every sport comes down to math. We just don't talk about it in that way. But when you dominate the offensive boards like the Knicks have this entire series, that's what happens. The math tends to skew in your favor, even if you're not perfect at what you're doing.
I will give you another math lesson. It's a very simple one, but a very important one. The New York Knicks need to win one more game. If they win one more game, they're in the second round of the postseason for the second consecutive year. That hasn't happened in back-to-back years for the Knicks in two decades. But they've got three chances to get that win.
Yeah.
But if somehow they lose game five, and they lose game six, and they lose game seven, that's one, two, that's a three-game losing streak, and that would be just the second time in the history of the New York Knicks, they had blown a 3-1 series lead. And I will speak for most Knicks fans when I tell you that the other time they blew a 3-1 series lead shouldn't even count because of P.J. Brown and the suspensions and coming off the bench and no John Starks and no Patrick Ewing and no Allen Houston. So when they blew a 3-1 lead to Miami in 1997, there's a phrase to describe blowing that 3-1 lead. It's a phrase called Fugazi.
Mm.
It's a Fugazi 3-1 blown lead. So other than that, it's never happened in Knick history. And do you know how many times the Sixers have come back from 3-1 down?
I'm going to assume never.
Never. But they've blown them. than that. Let's go to Stu on Long Island, who pulled off the doubleheader. He went to both of those playoff games yesterday. How was that, Stu?
It was amazing. It was amazing. But before I get to yesterday, first, thank you, Evan. Thank you. I remember a week and a half ago, you said Caps in seven, Sixers in seven.
I didn't say that.
I'm keeping receipts, buddy.
All right. Yeah, you should.
That's the hater in Evan.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But really quick, yesterday, and I'm from Long Island, not even from Jersey. Jersey or Philly, that's easier.
It's
so
cake.
Come from Long Island, right at the box office, $72 face value just to get in from the Sixers box office.
Wow. Are you kidding? What?
But then, yeah, I posted the ticket on your Twitter or whatever.
Oh, I missed it. Sorry.
That's sitting up high, but then we go to have a shoot around, and nobody left. All the Knicks fans stayed right behind the Knicks bench. The first 10, 15 rows were all Knicks fans who came to have a shoot around, and no Sixer fans came, no ushers came to move us. So it was great. Even Houston was sitting behind us. It was an amazing atmosphere. And listen, the planets aligned right where I'm a big Ranger fan, knowing, you know, if that was a 7 o'clock start, I probably wouldn't be able to make it. But 8 o'clock start, leave DC, leave Philadelphia around 4 o'clock or so after you're, you know, celebrating. You get down there around 7:15, and plenty of time to, again, go get a ticket and right from the box office.
Wow.
No problem.
Again?
This
could be Ovechkin's last game.
This is what? No, he's holding on for the record.
He ain't retiring.
Could be his last playoff game.
Well, that's a little different.
That's what I mean.
This shows you why it makes so much financial sense to do what Stu did and others did. Because the prices at Madison Square Garden, and I'm not complaining to anybody. This is, what's it called? The supply and demand. That's what it is. This is supply and demand. Like, the games are sold out because the Knicks and Rangers are a passionate fan base, and the demand goes up because they're so good to where they're really expensive to get in. It's nobody's fault, by the way. Like, that's just the way it works.
Yeah, it's market forces working the way it is. But did he tell us how much it cost in Washington for the
ticket? No, I bet it was the same thing, though.
Probably the same. So you got $78 in Philly. You got probably, let's call it $75 in Washington.
Dude.
$100 in gas. It costs you, what, $250?
That's
insane.
To go
see both games? Yeah, it's the pain of
traveling.
That's
insane.
But $250, I mean, that's not getting you into the garden.
No. Here's what's getting you in the garden if you want to go tomorrow night. The cheapest ticket out there, my ticket, if you were lucky enough to get it, you're dropping $1,000 for two tickets. That's what you're doing. You know, most people aren't going by themselves. If you are going by yourselves, okay, fine. You can cut it in half. But if you're going with a friend, if you're going with a husband, a wife, a kid, it's $1,000 at minimum for one game. If you did what Stu did and you had the time to pull that off on a beautiful Sunday, it cost you less than half, and you did both.
True.
Driving
home might have sucked, though, because it was pouring.
That's what I want to know. Did Stu stay overnight, or did he do the full trek back home to Long Island?
I don't know about what he did, but I tell you right now, I think the best thing to do...
He'd be sleeping if he did that.
If he stayed?
If he drove right back.
Oh, I would drive right back.
You might have to get home at 4 in the morning.
That's fine.
Dude, adrenaline, though, pumping. You saw two wins. You fly back.
Did you get home when the sun's coming up, bro?
Stop off, away we go.
The sun is coming up when you're getting home.
That's fine. That's the best time to drive. There's no traffic.
Of course not.
I've learned that.
I just shot.
When I drive with my kids and my family, we do long road trips, and we've done plenty of them. Mm. Our new rule is we drive during the overnight.
By the way, that's
because there's no traffic.
My mom used to do that.
She's a smart lady.
We were probably 4 hours, 3.5 hours from my grandmother. She'd put us in the car at like 11:30. We'd wake up the next morning.
Bingo.
We'd be at my grandmother's house.
That's right.
And be like, how do we get here?
You want to know why? Because she didn't want Rondé and Tiki screaming their lungs off.
Right.
And like, no iPads back then to dock upon.
Exactly.
Dude, we used to like lay in the well of the back seat.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Like, you remember how big the backseat wells used to be?
Yeah.
It's like you sitting in the well. Forget the seat. We're just hanging out. It's insane.
That sounds comfortable, actually.
It was. It really was. It's better than sitting on the seat sometimes.
Omar in Brooklyn. How you doing, Omar?
How are you guys?
Oh, amazing. What's up, dude?
Listen, first, I got to congratulate all the Knicks fans. And secondly, I will call Al, sitting next to you. If he's sitting next to you, he's a big Knicks fan. And Tiki, you are a wonderful Knicks fan. And I want to call on WFAN the front runner Knicks fan. And we will welcome them.
What does that mean?
The front runner. Greg Gennady and Sal Carter. Sal Carter, the...
Sal Carter? What did Sal Carter do?
What he does? He does not believe in this team for three games. Now he started believing
Omar. I can say this from personal experience because I have argued with Greg Giannotti and Sal Acata for many, many years, because I'm a Net fan. I'm sure you respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have fought with both of those guys for many, many years over Knicks Nats and who's going to sign LeBron and all these dopey things. They are real Knicks fans. I can tell you that. They truly are. So whatever
probably
impression
more
you
fan
have.
Than I am.
What was that?
Definitely more of a Knicks fan than I am.
I can't judge
Evan,
that.
Evan, you are a Nets fan, but you are 100%, you are 80% tilting. You're getting the franchise ticket for the season.
Let me tell you what I just wrote the Mets chat. I said Evan will be a Knicks fan in 3 years.
Stop.
He's
yesterday
giving advice. He's giving advice on tickets. I see paid ambassador for the Knicks in his future.
Let's go Knicks.
I have never seen. Last 30 years. The satisfying win that I have yesterday, and what Evan saw in that Philadelphia Stadium in Wells Fargo, he is leaning. No other fan base can do that. Kudos to Knicks fan base. And tomorrow, when it's over, 7th Avenue, shut down. Celebrate first series win for this year, because it's the greatest year in the history of New York Knicks coming. Championship is coming, honey.
Omar, you're feeling it, man.
Look at that. Omar Brooklyn, ladies and gentlemen. I love that enthusiasm.
Right. I mean,
the only thing I'll differ with you.
You did see the greatest playoff performance by a Knick. You're just saying.
Hey, this series has featured, and they have to win the series. I think we all know that. I'm not saying that to taunt you. I'm saying because it's real. They got to seal the deal. They're up 3-1. I think most of us believe they'll seal the deal, but they've got to seal the deal.
You got 3 chances.
But if they seal the deal, when you think about the way they won Game 2 in the miraculous fashion that it occurred, to me, for this generation, the younger generation of Knicks fans, that's your LJ 4-point play moment. And then the takeover and the way they closed Game 4, it's not even close that this is going to be one of those most memorable series you've had. And I don't know if Omar was saying this, so correct me if I'm wrong here, if I'm taking his words out of context. The New York Knicks have won 2 rounds of the postseason in this modern era. If you want to include kind of like the 90s Knicks as the 90s Knicks era, right? And then you've got the modern era. When they won last year, their 1 round, they defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers. They won a Game 5 in Cleveland. In 2013, when they defeated the Boston Celtics, it was very clumsily. Remember, they were up 3-0. They lost game four. They lost game five. And they had to hold on for dear life to win game six. So if I'm not mistaken, the last time the New York Knicks won a round in which they were able to clinch it at Madison Square Garden to allow their fans to celebrate was when? Like, it wasn't even in 2000. Because when they beat the Miami Heat in that seventh game, it was in Miami. When they defeated the Toronto Raptors in the first round of the postseason, it was in Toronto. So now I got to go back to 1999. I mean, when is the last time the New York Knicks won a series? All right, I got the answer at least. At Madison Square Garden. And the last time they did it, where fans were able to celebrate, was when they defeated the Indiana Pacers to win the Eastern Conference title back in 1999. That's the last time. So if the Knicks win tomorrow night, they are going to have, for the first time in 25 years, a home celebration. How about that? How about that? I take back what I just said about wanting to go to Philadelphia. You as Knicks fan should be rooting for that. Obviously, you're rooting for that. You want to win the series. But that is very special, which means you're going to get a lot of 22-year-olds taking their phones out, trying to become famous on TikTok by celebrating by going up a lamppost. Mm-hmm. That's what you may see tomorrow night.
You still think that it was Knicks fans trying to be famous?
I think in that case, yes.
Because that's that same fan that trekked his ass down to Philadelphia and bought the ticket for whatever it was worth.
Different fan.
Put the gas in the car and got there.
Different fan.
Oh, was it?
Different. In my opinion.
No, Evan. There's videos of all the Philly handouts last night that they took. There is like a young dude in a Knick wheelchair rolling over all of them. They're doing the same stuff they're doing on 7th Avenue outside Philly yesterday.
Dude! No. Yes. They're mimicking what they saw outside of 7th Avenue.
I think it's the same people.
It's the same people.
I don't know about
that. They are real fans. Stop trying to find a way to hate.
I'm celebrating them for the last 16 minutes.
You had your chance to hate, and you did it at the beginning when you said 76ers in seven. That's the only thing you can muster. Don't hate on the Knicks fan.
I'm not hating. I'm putting them over.
The Knicks fan is coming through.
They did a great job. I'm just saying that the celebrations sometimes are forced.
Calling Wells Fargo home away from home these days.
Wells Fargo Garden.
Can we admit something, Knicks fans, though?
Uh-oh.
You do that with Philly. That's great. Rival hate Philly. Eventually Eastern Conference Finals. You can't do that if you beat the Indiana Pacers in round two.
I disagree with you about that. Be excited?
What do you mean?
Be excited. I think you take to the streets, you have to beat it. It's different. It's not an arch rival. You should beat the Pacers in round two.
It doesn't make the same kind of sense.
You know?
It means you're getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, so it's great. But
maybe on elimination night, not if there are one or two wins.
I disagree with both of you guys about, and it's not in terms of if celebrations are real or not, because, look, I think things seem fake, and it's the TikTok age. But you never know. If you're raw emotion and you're excited, I respect that more than anybody because I'm a diehard fan too. I cry when my team wins, so I understand. This city, and I'll include the Nets because it's been so long, this city hasn't had an Eastern Conference Finals in two decades. Like, I want you to think about that for a second. Even in that little brief Kevin Durant era, this city has not had an Eastern Conference Finals since, 2003 with the New Jersey Nets and 2000 with the Knicks when they lost to Indiana. So if the Knicks advance past this round against Philly and past this round, I don't care how favored they are against Indiana or an injured Milwaukee team. That does not matter. It's not about who you beat. It's if they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2000. The last time the Knicks were in an Eastern Conference Finals, Bush v. Gore didn't even happen. Y2K was still a thing. Like, think about that.
And Chris Jericho wasn't in the WWE yet.
Well, he joined in 99, so technically 99. He was.
Well,
yeah.
I was doing the Y2K thing.
I mean, so think about it. So I do understand that kind of raw emotional celebration. Now, if you want to tell me, hey, Knicks fans, you guys are going to be heavy favorites in the second round, yeah.
Well, Evan, we just said not games one and two like they did versus the Sixers.
Oh, I got you. Can't celebrate one and two.
No. Elimination night, fine. You go to the Eastern Conference, fine.
Yeah, and I can't speak to the 22-year-old TikTokers that Evan called them, but when I see the Pacers, I don't see Tyrese Halliburton. I still see Reggie Miller. I still see the Davis brothers. I see Rick Smits.
So I remember that rivalry.
You
feel the animosity still.
Yes, and Indiana, they still have a great home court. They are great basketball fans.
True.
If that happens...
If they go 4-1 on get to the next round by beating Milwaukee.
That rivalry will be reignited because we remember, most of us. Now, the TikTokers might not, but people my age and older remember that stuff.
If the Knicks play the Indiana Pacers, and you could tell me when you want to do it, today is not the day for this. We obviously have to explore a major issue around the Indiana Pacers.
Which is?
The two-voice scandal.
What?
You don't know about the two-voice scandal?
I do not know the two-voice scandal.
Well, some of us have touched on it a little bit. I know Big Mac tried to address it a couple of days ago. Tyrese Halliburton has two voices.
What do you mean?
And it's really, really weird.
What do you mean, two voices?
Just wait.
When he's answering one thing one way, he talks one way?
No. In the middle of talking, he changes his voice.
Like, is it an accent or is it like a tenor? Or is it?
Just wait. We won't delve into this until the Knicks win their series.
See, now I'm going to go in a rabbit hole and find it. It's your fault.
I'm sorry. Did you say rabbit hole?
Yeah, because that's what I do. When you throw stuff like that out there, I got to go find it.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Tiki. So over the weekend, I took that gummy. And it really didn't do much for me. I have to admit, I think the next time I take one of those gummies, I need to be a little bit more aggressive.
You have too efficient of an endocannabinoid system.
Maybe that's it. But while I was taking the gummies, I started to write some music. Because that's what you do when you gummy up. So would you like to hear a Tiki Barber is Stuck in a Rabbit Hole song?
Oh, God.
We've got two versions.
Okay, let's hear it.
Ladies and gentlemen, version number one, Tiki Barber is in a Rabbit Hole.
Tiki Barber on the airwaves bright, talking sports with all his might. But then he stumbles upon a geeky lore, and down the rabbit hole he starts to explore. Oh, Tiki's gone down the geeky hole, lost in trivia, his heart's console. From sports to galaxies, his interests soar. Tiki Barber caught in a geeky lore.
So you like that one?
Well,
that's
20s.
Not
bad.
With 20s. We got a second Tiki Barber rabbit hole song just to see if you like a different one better.
That one.
And then you can have your own theme song. So, ladies and gentlemen, while I was high with my gummy, another Tiki Barber rabbit hole song.
There goes Tiki. There goes Tiki down the rabbit hole. Stuck in the rabbit hole could be a time like the life and times of Bob Dole. When Tiki is down that hole, you better just hold on, because the ride of geekdom is just beginning. Rabbit hole, rabbit hole, rabbit hole.
Hey, what do you think of that one?
I like that one too.
Which one do you like better?
I think I like the second one better.
You like the second one better?
It's all about the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I'm with it. The other guy kind of went a little crazy.
Yeah, he kind of got tangents and
started talking about lures.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to look that crazy down a rabbit hole.
And by the way, you want to keep it right here because that's not the only songs I wrote over the weekend. You may have heard about Mark Vientos and the fact that he had a game-winning home run yesterday. What have I told you? That a little bit later on in the show, we'll debut a Mark Vientos Can't Be Sent Down to the Minor League song.
Wow. In the style of what?
You'll have to wait and see.
Okay.
But my favorite song I wrote this weekend, you're going to like this one.
Why?
In fact, we will play it for you when we come back. It is a rap song talking about Tiki Barber calling out Saquon Barkley.
Oh, God.
This one was my favorite.
You're evil.
Speaking of Tiki Barber, he was in Detroit over the weekend, and he made some big announcements. We'll analyze the announcements he made and how the Giants and Jets did and how we both feel about how the Giants and Jets did, plus more of your calls on the Knicks, who are one win away from advancing to the Eastern Conference semifinals. We've got ourselves an insanely busy Monday afternoon. The Yankees had quite a weekend. Brutal loss on Friday, followed up by dropping 30 runs. But Aaron Judge kind of cheated on Sunday. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Plus, the Mets came very close to a disastrous weekend and got bailed out at the very last second on Sunday. We'll get to that a little bit later on as well. We'll get back to your Knick calls, as Knick fans are giddy, and they should be. They invaded and took over the city of Philadelphia yesterday, and now they find themselves one win away from advancing to the Eastern Conference semifinals. But Tiki Barber was in Detroit, made the announcements for the Giant picks. Obviously, the Jets, we saw Joe Douglas just want to trade. Like, basically, it was me at fantasy baseball. I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trade back. I'm going to trade back again. And then I'm going to add a pick for next year. Now I'm going to trade up. And truthfully, like, I'm not a college football expert. So most of the time, my reactions, and I think most of our reactions as fans, is what position did they add? And then let me learn something about each guy. So when they drafted Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky, the first thing I see about him, Tiki, is that he has a nickname. And I'm like, okay, cool. What's this guy's nickname? And his nickname is the Yak King.
I saw
and that. When I saw that, I ain't gonna lie to you, I got really excited. Now, do I know if Malachi Corley is going to become a superstar or not? I have no idea. I hadn't heard of him until 2 days ago. But when you are nicknamed as the Yak King and you're going to get to play in this offense with this quarterback, I don't know, man. I got to tell you, I'm a little pumped up about this Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky.
I mean, he feels like a running back to me. I'm just saying, because of his size. Because that was my first thought. He's 5'10". And a half, 207 pounds. It feels exactly how I played. I was 5'9 and a half and 205 pounds. So he feels like a running back. So it makes sense why he's a yards after the catch player or yards after the contact player, because he's stout. He's stoutly built and compact. And, you know, he kind of fits into a role with this jet offense that now has guys that can stretch the field. And. And hopefully Mike Williams is a big wide receiver. He gets healthy. He can be a downfield or middle of the field target. And then you have this other guy who you just throw these underneath routes to, and he catches the ball, splits a tackle, and goes 40 or 50. Right. So it feels like the Jets, you know, wanted to get different types of playmakers, but guys who could be like Breece Hall.
Right.
Right. Take it to the house on any given play. And I think they did a good job with it.
They also, and again, I'm only judging based on the positions. They also drafted not one, but two running backs.
Yes.
There's Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin, who's a big, strong guy. And then they went out and drafted this.
He's like 240.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Right.
He could be our Brandon Jacobs. And then they go out and they draft Isaiah Davis. And considering they already have Izzy Abanaconda, and they've got Breece Hall, I was a little surprised they went double running back.
Yeah, well, I think they had so many. How many compensatory picks did they have, Sean? At least two?
I think it was two.
So
they ended up using seven picks in this draft. They added a third round pick next year, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Because why the hell not? You never know when that's going to be needed. And then they were trading back. They traded up. They ended up trading up to take Travis, which we'll get to in a second, about his situation.
Yeah, I got lost with the Jets as it was going on and on day three. I couldn't follow what was happening and some of these deals that were going on.
Remember, though, this was a big focus here. The Jets did this and a lot of teams did this. Them taking two running backs at first glance would make people panic. These teams went back to the realm of fast guys that can return kicks.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Now you're going to have two guys deep, not one, because the kick return is back.
I forgot about that.
And by the way, that's what Tyrone Tracy will do
for the Giants.
For the Giants.
So there was more of an emphasis on day three for guys. Even if you were over putting running backs, you might carry five running backs on a team because of how important the kick return is.
Yeah, I sort of forget how much of an impact the new kick return rules are going to actually have.
I mean, special teams are a big part of this new NFL. I mean, that new NFL with how the kickoff return has essentially become a scrimmage play.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like. It's all everybody spread out. You're only a little bit away from where the returner is catching the football. It's like a scrimmage play. What was I watching? I was watching the UFL. Was it XFL or UFL?
It's the same thing now.
It's the UFL, but the XFL combined.
Right. So it was the UFL game, and they had it's the same kickoff rule.
Yeah.
Right. These kickoff returns are exciting.
Oh, they're very much
right because
so,
it's a guy with skill position player in space with the defense like spread out. So you never know what can happen, and it's going to come down to some of these smart special teams coordinators. John Fossil, son of my late head coach Jim Fossil, is probably one of them, where they're going to start designing run plays.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With the return. So you got to get skill position players. And I think Sean is right. That's exactly why you draft guys like that. And if you get a big running back like Braylon Allen, who you're talking about. Right, he can be back there as well, but also maybe as a blocker.
Right,
right. So it's different. It's different types of players that you have to put on your team given the new rules.
The other thing the Jets did, and I had said for weeks and weeks, ignore quarterback. You have a backup quarterback. Maybe you add a veteran third stringer, but Aaron Rodgers is the guy, and he's the guy for the foreseeable future. I don't want to have to think about the future. But when I saw they drafted Jordan Travis, who I'd heard of, so I was like, oh, wow, I remember him, FSU, broke his leg. Yeah, that sucked. I was intrigued by the idea that he is going to basically learn this year at the knee of Aaron Rodgers, at the knee of Tyrod Taylor. And so as a fifth-round pick, as a guy who can just learn, recover from the broken leg, okay, I don't hate it. Now, how good can Jordan Travis be in a couple of years? Like, is it crazy to think that's the guy who's replacing Aaron Rodgers after Aaron goes off into the sunset delivering the New York Jets multiple Super Bowls? Is that crazy? Forget the Super Bowl part. Put that one out of your mind. Can Jordan Travis be something for us in a couple of years?
He actually might be. He's the classic Joe. Maybe we got something here.
You buy this, right?
I actually, look, you know me, King Jet hater on the show. I think the Jets nailed this draft, and I think Jordan Travis was the icing on the cake because it's the perfect dart to throw and the perfect, absolutely no pressure to learn behind Aaron Rodgers and be there.
Fifth-round pick, let him learn, not just from Aaron, but from Tyrod as well.
Well, the only issue is that he's older. So he's 24 years old.
Sure.
So, I mean, he's not even probably in the mix for playing time this year.
No, plus he's recovering from this injury. And right. I think what Joe Douglas said is he was very evasive in terms of, hey, when is he going to be ready? And it almost sounded like maybe training camp. Maybe. Yeah. So who really knows about his recovery?
It's like a redshirt year he's going to have this year.
100%.
Most likely. And that's not a bad thing for a young quarterback. He's undersized, only 200 pounds, 6'1 or so. So, you don't know what his upside is, but you also don't know... You know that he's a really good athlete, and he did some pretty amazing things for Florida State when he was healthy. And he gets to sit and learn from two veterans who are really, first of all, Tyrod Taylor is an unbelievable locker room guy.
Yep.
So he'll be great with him. And then Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. So it's a perfect situation for him because he wasn't going to play anyways right away.
Right. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. Now, before we get to the Giants and Tiki's experience, here's a special song I wrote for your little feud that you had with Saquon Barkley. as you may remember, to everybody listening out there, Saquon Barkley decided to go to Philadelphia. You know, the city that basically can't sell out a playoff basketball game, and it gets to be invaded by New York City, the city that Saquon decided to leave. So he went to Philadelphia, and Tiki represented all Giant fans by saying the truth, which is, hey, Saquon, no offense, you can do whatever you want to do, but you're dead to us. A smile on his face, you're dead to us. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever, hey, Saquon, you're dead to us.
He's got something to say, representing all the Giants fans. He won't sway. Look, Saquon Barkley right in the eye. Said, hey, Saquon, you're dead to us. Say goodbye. Tiki Bar, say goodbye. Say goodbye. Tiki's words cut deep. They hit like a knife. The Giants' legacy, it's a part of his life. He stood up for the fans, never afraid to speak. Saquon lost his respect with a smirk so sweet. Hey, Saquon, get dead to us. Can't you see? You turned your back on the team, just let it be. Tiki spoke the truth, he set the record straight. Hey, Saquon, get dead to us. Sealed by faith.
Oh, what a chorus.
This is my favorite song ever created. Hey, Saquon, you're dead. And you hear those lyrics, man. How accurate was that?
Oh man.
My God.
You guys are rubbing salt on the wound.
You think they'll play that at MetLife Stadium when Eagles come to town?
No chance.
Can we speak to the Giants about it?
Yeah, I think so. I think only if we're up 21 with a minute left, right? No chance for DeSean Jackson.
Do you imagine that?
The problem is the fear is Saquon's going to come back here and kick our ass. Shove that song where the sun don't shine.
The Knicks have showed us we don't fear Philly anymore.
No,
that is true.
The Philly basketball fan. This is a lot different than the Philly football fan.
Now, how did you do?
Or team, by the way.
How did you feel saying Tyler Newbin and Andrew Phillips' name?
Great. I think the beauty of the Giants draft, and we'll go back. We did round one and Malik Nabers, obviously, on Friday. But they drafted specifically for positions of need.
Mm.
Right? And it's one of the reasons why when we were having this pre-draft conversation and everybody was either pining for or scared as hell of J.J. McCarthy, it never made sense to me because Joe Shane is not a desperate, I got to make my splash type general manager. He's so practical. And I think it's one of the things that he learned up in Buffalo. And you've seen it ever since he's come here, right? Practically managing the cap. I mean, they were in cap hell. Like practically, you know, handling the Saquon situation with the franchise tag. And you know, maybe he missed on Daniel Jones, but that was only because Daniel Jones got hurt and the offensive line was bad. So you knew that it was going to be a reasoned approach, not just let me make a splash because I'm the GM and I can go get my quarterback of the future. That's just not him. And so when it came to this draft and they drafted Malik Nabers, again, him or Roma Dunze would have been great. Malik Nabers has the biggest upside. I think it's a fantastic first-round draft pick for the Giants. But once you got to the second, the third, and the fourth, and the later rounds, all the way to six, you just knew that he was going to do the right thing and draft What do we need? We need cornerback. We need a safety, or the other way around. We need a linebacker. Right? We need a tight end. Like, we needed position players that could fill some depth places, and I feel like he did a great job with it.
Yeah, and you know, there was thought of, are the Giants going to draft a quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about early.
Later.
I'm talking about late.
Like, later.
Are they going to draft a project? And I'll tell you why I think Joe Shane made the right decision not doing that. Because clearly their plan is this. Daniel Jones is getting another shot. He's getting a reprieve, ladies and gentlemen. He's the quarterback. Hopefully he's healthy. Hopefully he remains healthy. And if he has a great year, we'll have a heated discussion in January about what to do about it. But I think their plan is clear. He's the quarterback for now, and then next year, if things develop the way we plan, Malik Nabers becomes a star, Wandell Robinson continues to develop, Jalin Hyatt continues to develop, this defense is big time, they will go into next offseason thinking we're a quarterback away.
Yeah.
And whether that quarterback is Kirk Cousins, or that quarterback is Dak Prescott, or that quarterback is someone we're not even thinking of. Maybe it's Justin Herbert. Who the hell knows? Maybe Jim Harbaugh's like, not my guy. Mm-hmm. We have no idea. I think the Giants' plan is Daniel's our guy, and next year we'll probably just go get another veteran to replace him.
Yeah.
And that's why drafting a project doesn't even make sense. Just go continue to fill needs, build this roster, and let's worry about quarterback a year from now when we've gathered more information.
If you have to, right?
See, the difference is I think you're going to, and we're going to disagree about this, I think you're going to have to no matter what, because even if Daniel has this great year and is healthy, there are going to be voices, I won't be the only one, who is going to be skeptical of it and say, you know what, this is still the time to move on because I don't trust him.
It's still another prove it year if he comes back again, because he's got to do it multiple years
in
a row.
Sean claims as a diehard fan he's going to feel that way.
And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It becomes akin to, not the same, to what the Atlanta Falcons did, right? The Atlanta Falcons draft a quarterback when you have your guy who's, in theory, your starter on your roster, because Kirk Cousins is going to be there for 2 years, right? Max, maybe?
Right.
And so if Daniel Jones has a good year next year, even if you draft a quarterback after next season, Daniel Jones only got 2 more years.
But,
right? So it's not like you're giving him another big-time contract.
Ask the Packers if ultimately they regret drafting Jordan Love as much as it pissed off Aaron Rodgers.
The answer is no. They didn't.
It certainly has worked out. By the way, if you didn't hear Tiki Barber announce the draft picks that he did, and we'll grade that, we will let you hear it, and we will grade that coming up right at 4:30. So we'll take a listen to how Tiki did in case you haven't heard it. I got to be honest with you, I didn't hear it. I was doing other things. Mm-hmm. I was very, very busy over the weekend.
Appreciate the support, man.
Well, no.
I heard it live, Tiki. We even muted the Ranger game for both.
I'm joking.
I wanted to not hear it so that when I did hear it on the radio, it was natural. So I'm like, that's what Tiki did. That's very, very interesting.
I'm joking.
I was being loyal to the show. Plus, the Mets were playing.
And you were doing drugs.
Thank God for drugs.
Exactly right.
And I tried a gummy, which did nothing for me. I basically passed out. Let's go to Tommy in Oceanside. How you doing, Tommy?
Hey, what's up, guys? So Saturday I got back from Cancun, and my dad texted me, you want to go to the Knicks game tomorrow in Philly?
Mm.
And I said, you know what? I'll go. We got there, and me, my dad, my uncle, and my cousin, we said there's got to be at least 25% of the fans were Knicks fans with the jerseys.
Wow.
By the end of the game, it was almost like everybody had a Knicks jersey on. I've never experienced going to another arena or stadium and watching my team win the way that they did. And the best part is they gave us a towel that me and my girlfriend can use.
Very nice.
Oh, I like that.
Very, very nice.
Well,
it's funny. I think there have been regular season games that mimic that experience, never postseason. And that's the difference. Like, I can't tell you that there hasn't been a Met Philly regular season game where the Phillies were down, the Mets were good, and we took over. But there's something so different about
a Wednesday night
in June versus a playoff game.
Yeah, it's a playoff game. You got to show up. Even if you don't fully believe, you got to show up. And the Philadelphia 76 did not.
And that's what's so unique about it, because we went through this before the series started. Like, New York and Philly has just not, we haven't had a lot of playoff battles. Mm-mm. We just haven't.
So there's no history here either to draw upon and be angry about. It's just only what's happening right now,
right,
in real time.
And we haven't had like a lot of examples of, oh, but when the Mets played the Phillies in 2012 in the NLCS. Mm. No, because that's never happened. The Mets and Phillies have never played in the playoffs. The Knicks and Sixers hadn't played in the playoffs since 1989. Right. When the Islanders played the Flyers, it was during the pandemic. It wasn't even real arenas. We were in freaking Canada playing the, is that where we were playing? We were in Canada, right?
Toronto.
We were in Toronto. So, like, we, Yankees, Phillies, there were some Yankee fans there, but it wasn't a complete takeover. This was our first experience of a New York fan base taking over a building. I remember a few years ago when the Giants played the Eagles, and I understand the Giants were big underdogs going into that game, but we were talking on the radio, and I was really trying to encourage people, you got to go. You got to go to Philly. You got to try to take it over. And really, and Lugie will remind me and remind you, it was callers lecturing me, you can't go to Philly. What, are you crazy?
The fan is crazy. You're going to get in trouble. They're going to fight you.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
And
don't take your kids. All that. I remember those days.
And nobody did. That's why that Eagle, and look, the Eagles blew you out, so obviously you never had a chance to get loud, but there were no Giant fans in that building.
But, Teague, our argument was, if you remember, that game was at night. It was Saturday night, 8 o'clock. The fans weren't going to church before the game. They were going to be gassed up. They were going to be drinking all day, so we figured they're going to get physical and violent.
I mean, I can see that. But, again, this goes back to the conversation we had about an hour ago. Rewind on the Odyssey app if you missed it. The Philadelphia Eagle fan is very different from the Philadelphia 76er fan. I don't know if it's a different fan. I really don't. I have no idea. But the energy and the angriness doesn't feel the same when you go to 76ers versus going to the Eagles.
More on that from Anthony in Matawan, New Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good.
Good.
Listen, I was telling your boys, I'm a Philly fan. I'm a Philly guy all the way. I'll tell you, I think, Evan, I think you were the one that said it earlier. Like, there is a different feel around this team. You kind of likened it to how the how it was easy to get into the Yankees playoff series in 2012.
Right, right.
Because the fans were just done with the team. And I'll ask you guys this. Like, if you walked into your best friend's house every year for seven straight years and he just kicked you right in the junk, would you keep going back? That's what it feels like with the Sixers.
That's a great analogy. It's a great analogy.
But that's what it is.
I know.
Exactly what it is.
Nah,
I know.
History is too long to go through
with
the Sixers. But the connection to the Eagles and the Phillies in Philly, it always has been, and I'm Evan's age. I'm actually maybe a little older.
Mm-hmm.
The connection with the Phillies and the Eagles is a lot stronger down there. And it always has been, and it has been with the Sixers. And it's a long history as to why, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's just always been that way. So to your point, that would never happen with the Eagles. It would never happen with the Phillies.
I agree.
But with the Sixers, it can.
Well, but what here's
made it work because we don't believe in this team.
Okay, but that's the thing I was going to get to. So the Philadelphia 76ers are in the postseason for the seventh consecutive year, and every story ends the same way. They lose early. Now, usually it's the semifinals. That's why I give Sal Acata. What did Omar call him?
Sal Cotta.
It's why I give Sal Cotta so much credit for that little nickname he has for them. They're the semi-sixers. I think it's so creative because they always lose in the semifinals, except not this year. Except this year, they couldn't even get to the semifinals. Mm-hmm. But they are about to lose in the postseason prematurely for the seventh consecutive season.
Do you know how many of those they were favored in? I went to one of these games when they played the Celtics, and I felt like they were the favorite.
Yeah, I would say,
because the Celtics were just young. I mean, they were. I mean, Jason Tatum might have been 21 years old. I forget. They were young, and so the 76ers felt like the team that should have knocked them out, and they didn't.
Yeah, I think some of them are close. Like a few years ago or last year when they lost to Boston, they were the 3 seed losing to a 2 seed, and they won 54 games.
It was before that, so this is a couple of years prior.
I know. I'm just saying, like, right. I'm trying to use examples of, like, have they been the favorite every time? Not necessarily, but it gets old, man. I mean, and I think the best team to use them as an example with are the Yankees. Like, Yankee fans, you guys are good every year, but if you lose in the playoffs every year in the same way over and over again, what do you do on WFAN? I'll tell you what you do. You call up and you demand changes. You call up and say, we can't win with this guy or this manager or this general manager, and you get fed up. And that's where the Sixer fan is. So I totally understand the argument that they are done with this team. They're done with Joel Embiid. I mean, Joel Embiid is a superstar who is fugazi in the biggest of spots. They know he's dirty. He's a crybaby. He's always looking for excuses, the latest being you. The latest being, right, it's your fault.
Now, I wonder how that's going over down in Philly. It cannot be well received.
Let me give you a spoiler alert.
I promise you they are starting to get in turn on Joel Embiid.
Oh, no doubt. And I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert. All right? I want you to play that clip I sent you, Loogie, from our good dear buddy Stephen A. Smith. Because there's a predictable kind of pattern that happens in the NBA. When a team loses in the postseason prematurely, immediately we hear about star players wanting out. So the Phoenix Suns got swept.
That's amazing, actually.
The Phoenix Suns got swept by the Minnesota Timberwolves. And by the way, the biggest lesson of that series is that Anthony Edwards is
true
him.
But also maybe that the idea of putting together a big three is just done.
Maybe it's done.
It's done.
No, you're right.
You guys proved it, and now the Suns did.
Keep my name,
well,
keep my team's name out your mouth.
I didn't say their name. I said your guys.
Yeah, my guys. So the Suns got swept, and naturally you're going to hear rumbling. So here's what Stephen A. Smith said earlier today.
Devin Booker wants to be in New York. That's what I'm being told. That's what I'm being told. Now, he might deny it. I haven't spoken to him.
Right.
I'm just telling you, the scuttlebutt in the NBA circles is that brother want to be in New York.
He want to be in New York.
Now, I can't tell you if Stephen A's right or not, but here's what I can tell you. When a team loses prematurely, we start with rumors.
Right.
So, spoiler alert.
By the way, where in New York?
Don't play this game with me.
Does he want to be?
First of all, where the Nets are, they should not be. Just rebuilding. They have the Suns picks, honestly. So
the Nets still in the league?
I hope the Suns trade everybody. They could trade him to the Knicks. Uh-huh. Just suck for the next 5 years, and maybe I'll win the damn lottery, okay? That's my plan. But again, keep my team's name out of everybody's mouth, including my own.
Devin Booker coming to Brooklyn.
So the Philadelphia 76ers are going to lose tomorrow night. I know it. You know it. We all know it. They're done. Loogie was right. They're gutless. And it's ending tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden. And here's what's going to follow. And we played this game on Friday. We played it.
Mm-hmm.
I made you guys give oaths when you called up. Joel Embiid is going to want out. That's what we're going to hear. True or not, doesn't matter. He's going to want out.
Or they're going to want him out.
Probably not, but I think it's more the superstar. The team always tries to hold on. But you may be right. Joel Embiid is going to want to get out.
Damaged. He's never going to be the MVP again.
Well, he may win the MVP. He's just going to get hurt in the postseason like he does every single year.
He's not going to play enough games in the regular season anymore, which is now a requisite.
I'm not arguing.
He's just not going to do it.
I'm not arguing Joel Embiid. I'm going to just tell you that that's going to be a rumor. And Knicks fans are going to have to make a decision because you're going to be linked to him. And you'll scream it's Knicks for clicks, and maybe it is. And all of you guys that hated Joel Embiid 48 hours ago are going to say, let's give up all our number ones for him. But that's what happens in the NBA. So once you eliminate these frauds in Philadelphia, the next thing that's going to happen is we're going to hear about Embiid's out. Who wants him? Do the Knicks want him? Joel Embiid to the Knicks. It's going to be the thing. I'm just warning you. I'm not telling you I'd do it. Louis's not telling you he'd do it. I'm just telling you, that's next.
This is just the work of the coalition indicators because we're in the middle of a playoff run. Who cares about Devin Booker or whatever Kardashian he's dating or Joel Embiid? I don't care. The real ones that keep it a buck don't care. I don't care about who's coming here next year. This is coalition indicators that don't want to focus on the run.
See what Loogie's getting at, and he's dead right about. If this was any other Nick year where it didn't feel like they had a real shot at going and doing something deep, then maybe that becomes the, okay, if we just had this piece. This Knicks team doesn't feel like they're asking from a fan standpoint and from a team standpoint. It's like they don't believe they need somebody else.
Yeah.
They believe that the team that they have is perfectly fine enough to win, get to the Eastern Conference Finals, beat the Boston Celtics, and go to the NBA Championship. That's what it feels like this
season. No, and that's why.
So they're not pining for anybody.
I agree, and that's why Loogie's 100% right. He nailed it. That's why I said to you guys on Friday, I said to you, you know who's in the coalition? Stephen A. Smith.
The New York Knicks are trash!
That's right. And this is more evidence that he's one of me, or us, or whatever the hell it's called. We'll get back to your calls in a second. The New York Knicks are a win away from advancing. The New York Rangers have already done it. Are they waiting on a date with the New York Islanders? Plus, did Aaron Judge cheat yesterday? We'll address it coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.